From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a series of messages on the Lord's Prayer. Nearing the conclusion of the series, Dr. Cairns now focuses on the concluding doxology of the prayer, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Although some versions of the Bible omit these words, the majority of Greek manuscripts give no justification for that omission. As Dr. Cairns will seek to demonstrate, these words contain a significance that applies to the entire prayer. Dr. Cairns will come to this message shortly. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Evening Brightens into Day. The text is found in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 7. It shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. It is a surprise that it should be so, for all things threaten that at evening time it shall be dark. God is wont to work in a way so much above our fears and beyond our hopes that we are greatly amazed and are led to praise His sovereign grace. No, it shall not be with us as our hearts are prophesying. The dark will not deepen into midnight, but it will on a sudden brighten into day. Never let us despair. In the worst times, let us trust in the Lord, who turneth the darkness of the shadow of death into the morning. When the tale of bricks is doubled, Moses appears, and when tribulation abounds, it is nearest its end. This promise should assist our patience. The light may not fully come till our hopes are quite spent by waiting all day to no purpose. To the wicked, the sun goes down while it is yet day. To the righteous, the sun rises when it is almost night. May we not with patience wait for that heavenly light, which may be long in coming, but is sure to prove itself well worth waiting for. Come, my soul, take up thy parable and sing unto him who will bless thee in life and in death in a manner surpassing all that nature has ever seen when at its best.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, emails, and phone calls we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS Audio Magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS Quarterly Magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to become a man? Or, why did Christ have to be virgin-born? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com. Thank you.
This morning we start what's called the doxology. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now you will not find this text in most modern translations of the Bible. They omit it or put it in brackets or relegate it to a footnote. They do so because it is absent from a very, very, very tiny number of Greek manuscripts. Remember that our Bible is in English, but it was written in Hebrew for the most part in the Old Testament. Few places not in Hebrew and Aramaic, but it's a Hebrew Old Testament, and the New Testament was written in Greek. For the whole New Testament, there are over 5,000 Greek manuscripts copied from age to age down through the centuries until printing became the way of preserving the Greek text. And out of the many, many manuscripts available for the gospel, just a very tiny, up until recently, just two or three that did not have this doxology. The absence from those manuscripts is very easily explained. I would suggest that it is both arrogant and audacious for any man to omit from God's Word what the Holy Spirit has carefully preserved in the vast, vast, overwhelming majority of the manuscripts of the New Testament. This sublime conclusion to the Lord's Prayer is not some late, uninspired addition which the church thought should be added on. It is rather the ending which the Savior gave. These are the words with which the Lord Jesus Christ Himself concluded the Lord's Prayer as He gave it here on the Sermon on the Mount. And these words deserve our closest attention. As soon as you look at them, you'll realize that they form two distinct functions. I must confess that I have often wondered why those who broke the Bible up into verses didn't start a new verse with, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." That would make a lot of sense to me. But the fact is they didn't do it. And I think the reason they didn't do it is because of the first function that this doxology fulfills. And that is that it stands in very close relation to the words that go immediately before it. In other words, it is the natural way of concluding the great petition, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," because thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. But then again, it's obvious when you look at these words that they don't only stand in relation to the last petition of the Lord's Prayer, but they stand in relation to the entirety of the Lord's Prayer. In other words, the second function of this doxology is to bring the entire prayer to a climax and to show us why we may expect our Father, which art in heaven, to hear us when we pray. Now today I want us to deal with the first of those functions. I want us to think of the connection between these words and what goes before. Now remember what goes before. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, because thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I want us to look at this and think very simply of three reasons we may expect God to give us victory over Satan and sin. Let me point out the first of them. That is that our Father controls all the things that ever can tempt us, try us, or trap us into sin. When we were looking at the first part of this verse, we looked at the words temptation and evil. And we saw that those words had a variety of meanings in Scripture, all of which are concentrated in this great petition the Savior tells us to pray. The evil may speak of evil spirits. The evil may speak of the evil one, Satan himself. The evil reminds us of evil people and their evil deeds. Reminds us of calamity and the situations that we call evil situations into which we fall. And all these may try us and tempt us and trap us. And it's with all this in mind that the Lord Jesus now says, pray this prayer in the knowledge that you can say, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. In other words, in the midst of all these temptations and evils, we remember the words of the psalmist in Psalm 103 and 19. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. He rules over all the evil. Some people don't understand that. I have to confess that we get into something here that's beyond the ability of mere men to understand fully. And that's simply because God is greater than our conception of Him. And we are finite and we cannot at all grasp the infinite fullness of our God. I like to read when astronomers come out with some new great discovery of the vastness of the universe. And now they, just about every week something else is coming out from the pictures taken by the Hubble telescope and all the rest of it. And some poor ignorant fools think somehow or other the vastness of this great universe is a challenge to the Bible. And it's a challenge to the faith of Bible believers. And it's a challenge to the doctrine of the God of heaven. Man, you need to go back to the Bible. It was never the Bible that said there were 1,054 stars in the sky. That was medieval science said that, not the Bible. The Bible never committed any such abject folly. The Bible says they're without number. But the Bible also says God gave them all their names and He knows every last one of them. As I think of these discoveries of the mighty vastness and hundreds of millions of light years, which, by the way, does not define time, but distance. Just in case you think I'm sinking into evolutionism or something. When I think of all that, then I realize that our God rules it all. He created it all. He upholds it all. And Colossians chapter 1 goes so far as to say that all the whirling movement of this vast universe hangs together in, through, and because of Jesus Christ. He rules over everything, including the evil. Some people have a view of what is called dualism, where they have two final mighty spiritual powers, God and Satan, and they're struggling mightily for a conclusion. I'm glad to say that is absolute rubbish. Oh, there's a devil, all right. Never for a minute deny it or doubt it. But there's only one God. There's only one supreme being. There is only one controller of all. And even the evil is under His sovereign control. I don't understand the plan and purpose of God in all its parts. I do understand the final outcome of it all in the glory of his own name. But he's ruling. He's ruling evil spirits. You remember what's said in Mark 1:27? That the people were amazed. They questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this?" That is that Christ was speaking. "For with authority he commandeth even the evil spirits," or the unclean spirits, "and they do obey him." Peter tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is gone into heaven. He's on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. There's a beautiful picture in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Doesn't start out very beautiful, but it ends up very beautiful. Where there's a man filled with evil spirits. He's mentally deranged. He's physically depraved and morally corrupted. He's running naked like a madman among the tombs, cutting himself until his blood flows. He scares everybody in the neighborhood. He's cut off from his friends and from his family. And we know from the words of Christ that he had both. Here he is, wrecked by Satanism. Let me just stop there for a minute. That's not just an interesting picture of what used to happen in history. That, my friend, is something that is happening again and again and again in the world today, and it will happen with alarming increase of frequency in America in the days to come. Let me remind you of the words of my late Indian friend, Jordan Khan, when he came to Northern Ireland years ago. He said he immediately noticed the difference. This was a little country that then was still greatly under the influence of the gospel. Sadly, that has greatly changed in the last 25 years. But then the gospel was being preached on practically every street corner. There was, even among the ungodly, a genuine fear of God. And when Khan came, he said, "I come from a heathen country. I find here a country where Satanism really can hardly get off the ground because there is the mighty protective power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you come to our country," and he gave us example after example. Remember, this was not some way out charismatic. This was one of the most austere, separatist, sort of Baptist brethren kind of preachers ever you would hear in your life. They said, "When you come to our country, then you will see Satanism run wild." He told us of many other heathen nations where he preached the gospel, where Satanism was rampant. What is happening in America and in Britain and Western Europe today? As the covering of the gospel is being removed, as the people are becoming ever further removed from every influence of the gospel, you have even from police forces the warnings. Isn't it strange that they're coming from policemen and not preachers, these warnings? The warnings of rampant Satanism. And I want to tell you, it will not be just National Enquirer stuff. Mark chapter 5, in your lifetime and mine, if God spares us very long at all, will once again become very, very real and common. Indeed, it is more common than you would dare to think.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.